We welcome you to this week's sermon from Mooresville United Methodist Church. This week's message is entitled, Where Love Leads. We will now join Pastor Glass with the sermon.
So I want to welcome all of you again as we are gathered together for worship on this Valentine's Day Sunday. I don't know if you have any special plans for Valentine's Day. I don't have anything in particular planned, but if I were going to plan an outing for Valentine's Day, I think probably I would plan to go to the mountains. Mountains have always been very special to me. My husband Mike and I had our honeymoon in the mountains of Shenandoah National Park. And when we retreat to my parents' cabin in Pennsylvania, that cabin is located in the mountains as well. Mountains are a place of restoration for my spirit and my soul. And there's always something beautiful to see, whether it's the first hints of light green that you see in the spring as buds are just starting to appear on the trees, or the full lush green of summer, or the brilliant colors of autumn, and even the stark contrast in the winter months between the bare trees and their gray, shadowy outlines and the gleaming snow. There's something beautiful to me about mountains. Mountains are a special place for me. For the Hebrew people, mountains were special too. They thought of mountains as a place where they could be especially close to God. They were like a form of a sanctuary, really. Places where you could meditate and connect with the holy and the divine in a very real and meaningful way. That's probably why mountains seem to be so important in the life and ministry of Jesus as well. He often withdrew to the mountains to pray so that he could connect with God. And it was at the Mount of Olives where he lifted up his prayer before his crucifixion. It was on a mountain where he delivered perhaps his most influential sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And we encounter another mountaintop experience in the gospel lesson for today. It is the story of the Transfiguration. And it is a story that highlights his mountaintop experience, but it is also a story that is instructive about the importance of heading back down to the valley, because the way of love leads to a valley of need. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the sermon today, which is entitled, Where Love Leads. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. So the gospel lesson that we heard just a few minutes ago is actually part of a much longer story in Mark's gospel. And I think in order for us to fully appreciate the text that we heard today, we need to understand a little bit more about its setting and its context. The story really begins 6 days earlier when Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples and he asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they say, well, some say Elijah, and some say one of the prophets, and they give a few answers. And then Jesus says, okay, but who do you say that I am? And Peter responds by saying, Lord, you are the Messiah of God. Can you imagine what it might have been like for the disciples to understand and realize that Jesus was indeed the Messiah of God. It would be like discovering that your college roommate is the son or daughter of a millionaire, or learning that your best friend from camp is a prince or a princess. You start thinking about all the wealth and the power and the riches and imagine lavish things taking place. Those surprising images of wealth and power, I'm sure, were what was in the minds of the disciples when they recognized that Jesus was indeed the Messiah of God, because they believed that the Messiah would be one who would bring wealth and prosperity to the people of Israel, who would be a powerful political figure, who would overthrow the Roman authorities and establish a new reign of justice and peace, wealth and well-being. But Jesus paints another picture. He tells the disciples, his closest friends, that it is necessary for the Messiah to suffer many things and even to be put to death, and then to be raised from the dead. And he tells his followers that they will not inherit a life of wealth and ease. Instead, they are to deny themselves, to take up their cross, and be willing to give up their lives also. Now, I know I took a little while to explain that background information, but I think it's important to understand it, because the exact same scenario unfolds in the gospel lesson that we heard today. Jesus takes Peter and James and John, and they make their way to the top of a mountain. And when they get there, the disciples see Jesus transfigured, transformed before them, so that he appears to be glowing and his clothes are such a dazzling shade of white that no bleach on earth could have gotten them that way. And they see him talking to Moses and Elijah, the giver of Israel's laws and the greatest prophet. And the disciples might not have understood everything that they saw, but they knew that this confirmed what Peter had said 6 days before, that Jesus was indeed the Messiah of God. And poor Peter is so excited by all of this that he blurts out, "Master, it's good that we're here. Let us build a booth to you." He wants to enshrine everything that he is seeing. He wants to capture the moment and savor it and hold on to it. He wants to hold on to this Messiah that he has found. And after he says that, a voice comes out of the cloud and speaks, "This is my son. Listen to him." In other words, "Peter, what did he just get done telling you 6 days earlier?" Peter has still not grasped the fact that the way of Christ, the way of love, leads back down the mountain and into the valley. The Messiah is not one who sits up on top of a mountain far above everything else. And Peter still does not remember Jesus' words that the Messiah must suffer many things. The Messiah is one who will pour out his life for others. And those who answer the call to follow him must be prepared to do the same thing. Or maybe Peter does actually understand all of that. Maybe it's just that he doesn't want to face it. He'd rather stay up on the mountain in a booth, avoiding all of the hardship that exists down in the valley. But love leads from the mountaintop to the heartache in the valley below. Now, I happen to believe that mountaintop experiences are really important. And I'm grateful for mountaintop experiences, those experiences that allow us to feel closely connected to God, to experience some of God's power and majesty. Those are joyous occasions that fill my heart, but I believe that God gives us those mountaintop experiences in order to strengthen us so that we can follow where love leads, to the valley below. After that mountaintop experience, in which he was transfigured before Peter and James and John, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, toward his death on the cross, a death that he experienced so we might live. Why? Because love leads to the valley. Do you know what Jesus did right after he came off the mountaintop? He healed a sick boy. He didn't spend time meditating about his wonderful experience. He didn't write an article about it. He didn't blog about it. He didn't go on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram to tell everybody how amazing it had been. He got to work and he healed a sick child. He went to work caring for others. Now, you and I both know that there is a huge valley of human need out there. There are people who are hungry. There are people who are starving to death. There are children who are growing up surrounded by violence and hurt and hatred. There are people who are sick and tired of everything. There are people who are sick and dying. And with all that need, sometimes it seems really scary to go into the valley. And sometimes it might feel like there's not a whole lot that we can do anyhow. Staying on the mountain seems a lot safer. But as followers of Christ, that is not what we are called to do. The way of love leads to the valley. And you remember the gospel song, Jesus walked that lonesome valley? If we're his followers, we are to walk that valley as well. The mountains are beautiful, but love leads to the valley. And when we get to the valley, our job as followers of Jesus is to share his love with a hurting world, even when it is difficult or painful. We are called to share that love unconditionally, because the way of love leads to the valley. And if we follow where love leads, we can change the world.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. We have in-person worship at 9 a.m. On the first Sunday of the month, we offer communion for both this and our 10:30 a.m. online service in the parking lot. We ask that you pre-register by Friday at noon for the following service. You can do this by calling 540-439-2594 or by email at morrisvilleumc@verizon.net. If you attend the in-person service, you will be required to wear masks and socially distance. Our online service is at 10:30 a.m. and can be seen via our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/MorrisvilleUMC or via the church website at morrisville-united-methodist-church.freeonlinechurch.com/live. Recordings of the sermons are uploaded to the church website during the week. If none of these options work for you, then you can come to the church parking lot during our 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. service and tune in to 97.9 FM to join in worship. In unprecedented times like these, we pray for your safety and remind you that the road you travel always leads you home. Have a blessed day.